the triumphal entry. Palm Sunday. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 21, please. Matthew chapter 21. And then if you want to start finding your way to John chapter 12 as well, put a finger there and we'll eventually get there. All of the Gospels share this. We read out of Luke this morning to open up, but Mark shares it as well. And in Matthew 21, starting in verse 1, it says this. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage of the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying. Okay, now it's important that we get verse 4. Okay, so I want to read it again. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying. Okay, verse 5, and here's what he said. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this? And the crowd said, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. And I won't have time to get into all of that, but that is important as well. Now, John chapter 12, if you found your way there. John 12, starting in verse 12. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Even the king of Israel. Everybody say, king of Israel. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. We'll stop there. Have you ever noticed how when we pray and we start to ask God for something, we have an expectation as to how he's going to answer that prayer. And we actually kind of pray with that anticipation that he's going to answer it the way we want him to, even before we pray it. And then when he doesn't do as we expect it, what do? We get mad. We get mad at him as well as the predicament that we're in that causes us to have to pray in the first place. Now, to set the framework here, the church leaders were against Jesus his whole life because they could not grasp who he was. They could not grasp the idea of Jesus being the Messiah. And so they were against him. They were in opposition. In their minds, they were thinking that he came from nowhere. Okay? And he came from nobody's. I mean, I don't know if they thought the Messiah was going to come through their lineage or what it was going to happen, how it was going to happen. But they never suspected that he would come through a simple little girl and a simple little guy who were going to get married. And so he came from nowhere and he came from nobody's, according to the leaders. And so they didn't expect him to be the Messiah. From the very beginning of his life until the very end when he was crucified, he was a nobody. He was a fraud who became a thorn in the flesh for the church leaders. They couldn't get rid of him. They tried to be smarter than him, and they couldn't be smarter than him. They tried to accuse him of doing the miracles that he was doing. Imagine this, the miracles that he was doing. They accused him of being the devil for doing them. There was, in their minds, no royalty that was associated with him or his birth. And think about it. If it hadn't been for the shepherds who were obeying the angels, nobody else would have been in that stable but the animals that were there and Mary and Joseph. And yet when the shepherds got spoken to, they went and they saw. And when you see Jesus coming and he's riding on a donkey, and really he's not riding on a donkey, he's riding on the colt. Okay? That's a triumphal entry. I mean, here he is, and they were thinking that he's the king of the Jews. Some of them were thinking that. The leaders of the church had no expectation of that at all. There was no way he was the king of the Jews. But the other ones were thinking that, and then this is his triumphal entry in the natural. It surely wasn't what anyone was expecting. And it's amazing to me that they can look and they can think that Jesus was a nobody, that he came from nowhere, and yet the scripture is full of how he was going to come, and he fulfilled those. And they didn't recognize him because they didn't expect him the way he came. In John chapter 1, starting in verse 43, it reads like this. And this is at the very beginning of Jesus calling the disciples. He says, John 1:43, the next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And so here he is trying to explain to Nathanael, they found the Messiah. I mean, these words that he's chosen to use are depicting of the Messiah. And so here's Nathanael's response to that, because this is a response that most people had. Verse 46, Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Isn't that amazing? And I wonder if we have the same mindset sometimes. Because we don't see God doing what we think he ought to do. We don't see God answering our prayers the way we have prayed them. And so we wonder, can anything good come out of this situation? And yet, when we put our trust in God, he says that all things work out for our good if we love him. And yet we get so upset with him because he doesn't do it as we expect it. Now, this is Nathanael as he's speaking, but this is the pervasive attitude that was there about Jesus. And remember, they also said, well, he's just the carpenter's son. Yeah. Miraculously. He didn't come from great stock, and apparently the Pharisees didn't like that. He didn't come from them. He came into the world through a virgin engaged to a good man. that didn't want to put Mary to shame and was going to divorce her quietly until the angel of the Lord spoke to him. Now, if anyone could have had a complex or had a low self-image of themselves, Jesus would have been able to do that. Born out of wedlock, all the ridicule that he had to have faced, all the ridicule his parents had to face, probably his brothers and his sister as well. And if anyone deserved, you know, we like to use that word, well, you deserve this. So if anyone deserved to feel sorry for themselves, Jesus had that right, but he never did. Hallelujah. Thank God. All of Jesus' life, he was put down, ridiculed. He was constantly at war with the leaders of the church. And how many times did they, and you can read in the script, they wanted to kill him, or they thought of killing him, or they were trying to figure out some way of getting rid of him or silencing him. He was maligned by them and all the good that he did. Perhaps they were so upset with Jesus because they didn't expect him to be the King of the Jews and to be the Messiah. And yet everything that Jesus did was spoken before him, and they missed God because they didn't expect Jesus to be the Messiah and come as he did. You see, from his birth, he came not as royalty, but as a regular human being. There was nothing that was that would stand out about who he was, and yet he was the Messiah. He was born like you and I, but probably lower than us, because usually we have a hospital we can be born in. There was no room. He's born in a stable. Maybe that's why he was so comfortable riding the colt. So prestige wasn't something that he had to wrestle with. You know, the scripture talks how he's going to be born, and it happened just like that. And they refused to believe him. The scripture speaks of where he is going to live and what he is going to do, and he did it. He did it. All that Jesus did, he did according to the scriptures, and yet they missed God because they didn't expect Jesus to be the Messiah. Even his death, his burial, his resurrection were spoken of in the scriptures before they came to pass, and they still couldn't see that God was with Jesus because Jesus didn't come as they had expected. And I don't know what they were expecting. They obviously weren't reading the scripture. That's all I can tell you. Back to John chapter 12, in verse 12. I want to read this again. It says, "The next day the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying, 'Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel.' And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt.'" Here Jesus is getting ready to come into his glory as king, riding on a donkey. But they missed it. And here's what's so amazing to me. In their anger and whatever caused them to miss all of this, they missed the fact that Jesus came into the city exactly as it was prophesied, exactly as it was spoken of. Again, he's referring to Zechariah 9:9, and we're going to read that in a minute. But they missed it because he came in a different way. In Zechariah 9:9, we'll look at it now. And this is part of a quote from a messianic prophecy about Jesus anyway. So, but Zechariah 9:9 says this: "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold your king." Everybody say, "Your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." I mean, do we get it? Do we see it? It's just as it was spoken of. He's coming just that way, and they still refuse to see him because he didn't come as they expected. Now, I don't know how they were expecting it, but it was contrary to the scriptures. And yet they missed God because Jesus came just as he said he was going to come, and they missed him because they didn't expect him to come this way. They had something else in their minds. They had thought all of their life something else as to how the Messiah was going to come and how he was going to reign. Again, let me read out of Matthew verse 5. It says, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." I want to share with you some things about this. They were looking for a strong physical king to establish his kingdom that was going to rule and reign on the earth, that was going to set them free from the political stuff and the spiritual stuff. But God was looking to establish his kingdom on the inside of each of us, that he would begin to rule and reign from the inside of each of us. And so it was going to take more time, but we would rule. And so Jesus came riding in his humility, just as it was prophesied. In those days, the kings would ride on their horses, and the military would have their horses. And so this is how there were three categories of horses, and they were measured by hands. And so what a normal horse was that many hands. They would measure it from the ground up to their shoulder. A war horse measured two or three hands bigger than the regular horse, than the normal horse, because it had to be stronger, and it had to be higher. The king's horse was higher than the war horse, because the king wanted everybody to know that when he came in, there was nobody higher than him, that he was at the highest. And so this is how they had that. And so the king's horse was the highest, the greatest, the strongest, the biggest horse that there was. And yet Jesus, and they acknowledge him as king, he comes, and what is he riding on? He's not even riding on a full-fledged donkey. He's riding on a colt that is smaller. And so he didn't come as they expected. This is a great triumphal entry, isn't it? This is something you want to write home about and put on your resume. The king is coming, and he came in riding on a colt. We have to understand that this colt is so small that Jesus probably had no struggle getting onto it. And his feet probably scuffed the ground because he was so low. And so we see his humility by being able to do that. But Jesus came just as predicted according to the scripture, according to God. But the leaders of the church missed it because he didn't come as they expected. And they became angrier and angrier with Jesus and everything that he did. I wonder how many times we have missed God because he hasn't come. He hasn't answered our prayers as we had expected. When he doesn't answer our prayer the way we expect him to, and we miss it, then we become angry with God and we stay angry with him. If you'll be honest with yourself and with what we see going on in the world is angry right now. The world is very angry. And I think that part of the reason that the world is angry is because there's going to be a shift for good. And the enemy is trying to fight that as much as possible. And anytime there's great change, there's great stress. But I believe that the enemy is afraid of what's coming. And so the world is angry. I mean, if you don't agree with the world, what do? They try and get rid of you. Right? You make a mistake and boom, you're done with, according to the world. But I want to share with you, and I just want to challenge you with this thought. You know what's worse than an angry world? Is an angry church. You see, it was an angry church that put Jesus on the cross. He's the Messiah. He's the King of the Jews. He came exactly according to how God said, and yet because he didn't come as they had expected, so they had a change of what it was going to look like when God showed up. And because the way Jesus showed up wasn't according to the way they thought he was going to show up, they became angrier, and they ended up crucifying him. And so what's worse than an angry world is a church that is angry because we haven't gotten what we have expected God to give us. And do you know, it's amazing to me that when you think about it, if you have been married, I'll tell you what, your marriage is not what you expected. That person that you've given your life to and your devotion to, they are different than the person that you said yes to. You thought it was going to be some grand thing that roses were going to be poured out in front of you all the days of your life and everything was going to be great, and you found out that they're not that great. You thought that you were marrying this person who was just out of this world, and now you find out not only are they out of this world, but they're out of their minds. Life is not according to what you expect. You know, we just have this thought that because we've given our life to Jesus, we marry some person who we think is a Christian. Everything is just going to be great. And when sickness comes, you know what? You don't expect that. But you know what? We have to ask ourselves, what is our response to when that sickness comes? Are we going to be angry? Are we going to be upset with God? Are we going to hold it over him because he doesn't come to us the way we expected him to? It rocked our boats when Diana has that stroke in 2017. We weren't expecting that. It wasn't in our plans. In 2009, when she was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, we weren't expecting that. You know, when she woke up and she saw that her hands were all messed up, she was like, I don't know what this is. And through wisdom, somebody led, and we found out it's rheumatoid arthritis. We weren't expecting that. God didn't call us up and say, hey, I just want you to know, there's rheumatoid arthritis coming your way. And you think of all the things that happen in life and all the struggles that we have, and we can become angry with God, and then we become angry with everybody else because God doesn't show up the way we expected him to. God was working in Diana, in her mind, in her body when she got that rheumatoid arthritis. She had some things that God had to break off, and it took her, it was a process. But she did what the doctors told her to do. And I hate to confess this because we believed it, but we didn't expect it. We didn't expect her to be healed when she was. You know, when she had the stroke, we didn't expect that she had a hole in her heart that would cause it. If they would have told us that beforehand, we might not have gotten married. Who knows? Just kidding. Sometimes things just happen. And we have to decide, what is our response going to be to that? Are we going to become angry? You know, I've mentioned that they spoke of him as being king, and yet he's riding on the lowest animal possible. And just think about this and think if it applies to our life. When Jesus becomes what we want him to become in our life, what do? We praise him. We bring out the palm branches. But when Jesus becomes what God says we need, and he becomes a savior, what do? We give him thorns. Stand with me if you will. Today we're giving him high praises. We're thanking him for who he is, and because our life is going well, and then all of a sudden it doesn't go well, and what do? We put the palm branches away and we get the thorns out. Between us, and I hate to say it like this, but I don't know any other way to say it. I don't think God has shown us everything that's up his sleeves. I still think there's new things that God is going to do, that he wants to do. And so, with what is going on, there's been a lot of people asking, what do you think God's doing? And this is all I can really promise you. He's doing a new thing. He's doing something. I don't know what it is completely. I don't even know what it looks like. But I'll know it when it comes. And if it comes on a donkey, I'm ready for it. You see, we have these expectations of what it's going to look like. We have already said in our minds, this is what it's going to look like when God shows up. And then we go through the motion and it doesn't happen and we say, oh. We get mad. I don't want to miss God because he doesn't come as I've expected him to come. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day and the love that you have for us. And Lord, I thank you for the picture of this triumphal entry. It didn't look triumphal at all, but it was greatest triumph there is. And Father, I pray that you would work in us, that we would throw away our preconceived ideas, our man-made ideas of what it looks like to say that you've shown up and that we trust you to simply show up any way you desire. And we will be the recipients. We will be the beneficiaries of you coming as you expect and not as we have expected. Help us to be that type of people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, go be blessed and see him unexpectedly.